You're listening to Marketplace Weekend.
My son has emailed celebrities such as Ellen DeGeneres asking them to help me finish my PhD, and no one has responded.
What Janet wants help with is $250,000 of educational debt. Debt from graduate programs at for-profit schools, Walden University and Capella University. Yeah, it's a staggering amount of money.
How do you think you ended up in such trouble?
First of all, I have to take personal accountability because I should have known better to enroll the second time in an online for-profit university. Secondly, I would say I understand the motivation for profit, and I'm not sure what Capella's graduation rate is, but at least in the PhD program, it couldn't have been very high. I was told at the second university that about 3% of us had a chance. At this point, I just have accepted it as something I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life.
But here's the thing. Janet's not alone. A pretty blockbuster study just came out showing that students who were defaulting on their debt are like her. Older, maybe lower income, and they went to largely for-profit schools, like the University of Phoenix, where Steve went.
My name is Stephen Trimble. I'm 42 years old, working in Philadelphia.
And what's your debt load now?
I stopped going after 2.5 years, and I accumulated about $30,000 in debt, and now I'm down to about between $18,000 and $20,000.
Was it worth it for you?
Not even a little. No, doing it, no, it wasn't worth it. If I knew that this was going to happen the way it happened, I certainly would not have done it. I have debt and no degree.
Or Universal Technical Institute, where Sean went.
Well, my name is Sean Bacher. I'm 32 years old. I live in Melbourne, Florida.
Do you feel like the school you went to was honest with you?
In the beginning, I don't think they were completely honest in the value of their education. And I don't think they would have ever been honest in the value of their education had we as the group of students had not confronted them and questioned them about why we were paying so much and what are we getting out of this.
Sean is now going back to school to the University of Central Florida to study mechanical engineering. Those three students are all called non-traditional borrowers. Again, older, maybe lower income, and at for-profit schools. And what this new study from the Brookings Institution and the Treasury Department found is that the huge surge in student debt and default comes from students just like them, and schools just like the ones they went to. David Wessel at Brookings explains what makes this study so important.
What's incredible about this study is that, unlike the other ones, it's not based on a survey where people are asked to remember things, and it's not based on credit reports. It's hard data from the government's treasure chest of numbers. Numbers on what people have borrowed to go to college, what colleges they've gone to, and importantly, how much money they earned from their tax records. So Adam Looney and Constantine Yanellis at Treasury have data that allows us to answer questions that we could really only guess at before. And what they discover, I think, is that if we have a student loan crisis, it's really concentrated not in people who went to the University of Southern California or even to expensive private schools like Yale and Harvard. It's concentrated among borrowers who went to for-profit schools and, to a lesser extent, community colleges. That's where the problem is.
We tend to think about borrowers as kind of one big group, but the numbers here are striking. What's the difference between traditional borrowers and non-traditional borrowers in terms of how they default?
Well, the Treasury economists asked just that question, and what they found was recently that about 21% of these non-traditional borrowers, people who had gone to for-profit schools or two-year institutions and who finished school in 2011, were defaulting within 2 years. 21%. People who went to traditional four-year schools, 8% defaulted. And people who went to graduate schools, who tend to be heavy borrowers, only 2%. And an extraordinary number of people who go to for-profit schools or, in some cases, community colleges, aren't even making enough payments to pay down the principal. So they actually owe more money after 5 years than they did when they finished school.
And one of the things that kind of blew my mind here was looking at the
the loan burdens, because sure, if you go to med school or grad school, that's a ton of money. But people were defaulting for, you know, technical programs that in the grand scheme of things cost a whole lot less.
Exactly. The thing that's so hard here is you want to tell people borrowing to go to school, it can be a smart decision if you're borrowing to go to a program that's going to pay off for you in the future. Going to a program that's not going to pay off in the future is a dumb decision, and borrowing to go to that program is an even dumber decision. So it's a very hard message to get people. The government is basically saying you should be a better shopper when you buy higher education. But on one hand, we tell people everybody should go to college, everybody needs an extra 2 years beyond high school to get a job. And on the other hand, we tell people, but don't borrow for a lousy program. And we haven't done a very good job of helping people distinguish between what's lousy and what's worthwhile. And this data is a way to do that. And I think what will happen is there soon will be apps or websites or publications that organize this in a way so you can see if you live in Cincinnati or Seattle, Washington, what's the range of outcomes of people who go to the various programs, so you might have a chance of avoiding the really bad ones.
One of the questions this raises is, okay, so if you maybe came from a lower income background or the first in your family to go to college, are you more likely to default in general, or is there something about the schools that contributes to the default rate?
I think that's a really good question, and it's hard to tease out from the data. So surely some of it is the schools. Unfortunately, some of the for-profit schools were better at enrolling students and taking their money than in graduating students and getting them jobs afterwards. But of course, the community colleges and for-profits also were more likely to get people who'd come from low-income neighborhoods, who had gone to lousy high schools, whose parents hadn't gone to college, and so forth. So it's a little hard to tease out what's the cause and what's the effect.
David Wessel is the director of the Hutchins Center on Fiscal and Monetary Policy at the Brookings Institution. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
We reached out to the schools in question. A Capella spokesman said that, quote, not all for-profits are the same, and noted that their median debt is approximately $34,000, below the national average for all institutions. On the Brookings study in general, the University of Phoenix spokesman said researchers failed to acknowledge their students', quote, significantly improving rate of default, due in part to University of Phoenix support systems and services designed for working adult students. And UTI told us that 88% of their graduates found jobs in the field they trained for at UTI.